Welcome back to Better Than One Marriage Podcast, where two are better than one because they get a good reward for their labor. If one was to fall, the other would be there to pick them back up. We are your hosts. I'm Ronald Corsi Jr.
And I am Chelsea Corsi. And we're still married.
It's a beautiful time. I was literally driving home, and you get to, you know what happens? This is what happens, Chelsea. This is what happens when you become grown. When you become grown, you pay bills and you have things to do. You have appointments, you have places to be, you got people to see. And time moves faster because you're not paying attention to everything that's going on. And so I've been trying to vow to myself, I don't like time moving too quickly. So I'm going to like take time and, you know, appreciate the seasons changing. Mm-hmm. And I was just driving on the highway home from work, and I'm seeing this is the best time, you know, mm-hmm. when the trees are like red.
Yeah.
When the trees is red, like you, like we're here. It's fall, people. Like it's autumn. The hills are alive and there's no morning dew.
Oh, okay. First of all,
I was thinking that. That's funny. Yes.
Oh, Cosby Show reference.
Yeah, the crickets have no love songs in there. I'm so blue. Mm-hmm. But the trees are red, Chels. It's autumn.
That's also a sad.
It is sad. Yes, because the trees have died.
Sandra was tripping.
She was being real light skinned. Mm-hmm. She was tripping. She was upset, okay, over Elvin. But it's that time, Chels. And I said, you know what? I'm going to, because I hate when it's hot, but I don't like it to be super cold. So now this is the time where, okay, it's kind of cold, but, you know, I'm just going to appreciate the few things that are going on now.
Amen.
Amen. It's Thanksgiving time.
Yeah.
Almost, you know.
That's the good stuff.
The giving of thanks.
I just want my pie.
Just want some pie.
Like, literally, like, my mouth is just set on some sweet potato pie. That's what I need.
Yeah.
Everything's great, but I want sweet potato pie.
You do want that sweet potato. Shout out to this wedding we're about to be at.
Indeed. It's about to be a busy, me too.
So do you. Two raggedy speeches coming up.
Well, I considered what I'm going to say. I'm not writing it down, but I know the point I want to make.
I thought normally you're supposed to like toast the person.
You are.
But I don't care. Well, the couple, yeah, but I don't mm-hmm. care what you're supposed to normally do. You know I'm different, Jones.
Yeah, I know.
I don't be caring like that. I got a sermon I'm preparing.
Right? Oh, Lord.
Coming from Ezekiel.
Will Daniel, these dry bones live?
Hosanna.
Can these dry bones live?
That's funny because he's a stick figure. So can these stick figure bones live?
That's funny.
It's very funny. So we are in season 3 of the podcast, and we're talking about why should I get married. There's a ton of reasons, yeah. But today, what do we have, my love?
Today I'm going to be reading an excerpt.
Excerpt.
From the book written by Kendall and Fantasia Taylor.
Kendall Taylor. I don't know who that is.
Me. He's a businessman, it says.
He's a businessman.
Previously known as Fantasia Barrino.
Is he sexy, Chels?
I mean, I'm sure he is to somebody. To some people.
No, so he doesn't deserve Fantasia. That's good.
Okay, you're hilarious. No, I mean, he's a nice looking guy.
Okay, whatever.
I just mean, like, you know, he's not my type. That's all.
I'm just hating, Chels. I'm just being a hater, okay?
Okay. But yeah, they wrote a book together called No Crowns in This Castle.
Wow, could have stopped right there before you even got started. No Crowns in This Castle.
No Crowns.
In the Catskills. Woo! Yikes.
In the Catskill.
In this Catskills. That's horrible. No crowns in this castle. Amen. Okay.
Amen.
Yes.
So I'm just going to read a paragraph, mm-hmm. and we're just going to discuss.
Let's discuss.
All right.
We could have stopped at the title.
We could have stopped at the title.
They're already trying to say.
They want to.
Listen, no crowns in the castle. I don't know if that's biblical or not, but it is biblical still. Mm-hmm. It makes sense, mm-hmm. because when the king has the crown, but the crown does not have the king.
You understand? Yeah, that's it.
He has the crown, but the crown, this is
you
the
didn't even read this yet, and you're already.
No, I didn't.
You got your foot on it.
Listen, I didn't know my foot was on it, but mm-hmm. if it's on it, let it be. Mm-hmm. This is the issue that, you know, Saul and David had. Mm-hmm. Saul didn't, he wanted to please the people more than he wanted to please God at the heart of it.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah, so he finds himself in some issues, but you can start seeing it when you actually poke into the story where, I ain't even going to go into it. It's too early, Chelsea. It's too early.
Yes.
But yes.
Yes. I haven't actually read the book.
Good.
This is a sample. I was trying to see if I want to read the book. So this is part of the introduction, I believe. So it says, we each have overcome tremendous obstacles and excelled in certain areas of life. For Fantasia, that has been as a vocalist and performer. For Ken, that has been in the world of business. In the process of growing, developing, and challenging ourselves to push outside of our respective comfort zones so we can reach higher levels professionally, we have experienced insights and learned skills that also serve us in marriage. Some of what we've learned in those areas might even help you. Just to give you an example, one of the most important things we've discovered is that it's important not to bring the quote-unquote crowns we have earned out in the world into our home.
Wow.
That's just one of many ways we protect ourselves from individualism, materialism, instant gratification, sexual temptation, and other destructive ideals that our society promotes but that could destroy our marriage.
Well, let's pause there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's pretty good. See, when they said crowns, I did not think
mm-hmm,
of it.
Mm-hmm. You didn't expect that, me
right,
either.
That's true. That's fair. I was thinking it's a crown that you inherently have.
Right, right.
Not a crown that's given to you.
Right.
Like, here's your splendor. Here's your accolades.
Yes.
And that's different than, like, the natural, oh, I'm the king of the castle.
Right.
I'm the queen of the castle type of thing.
Right.
Well, that's different. I think that's actually pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's pretty good not to bring that stuff, because a lot of times, you know, who you are and what you've accomplished becomes your identity.
That's right.
Especially if you're famous.
Mm-hmm.
Now people don't even realize, like, oh, that's a person.
Yeah.
That's a, you know, if they see you at the grocery store, I'm running up on you.
Right, right. Can and I get a picture?
Whoever.
Oh, my gosh.
Don't be somebody.
You're amazing.
Well, you know what? I ain't going to say woman, because I feel like men are better at that.
At what?
At not being groupies.
Being groupies. That's definitely a female thing more.
Yeah, I feel like if you can't, like, Usher can't be at the grocery store Mm-mm. and get out Mm-mm. of there unscathed. Like, ain't no way. Whereas, like, if it was, I feel like if it was a woman, like a man, like, a corny man would be like, let me run up on her and act like I ain't got no sense. Like, that's a different.
And act like I ain't got no sense.
You know, that's a different level of star. Like, mm-hmm. and really. All right,
yeah, because it can happen.
Here's the hierarchy. It's the hierarchy of stars right now. I just realized it right now. It's like, if you are, this is from men going towards a famous woman who's a celebrity. It's like, I would never, like, who's somebody famous? Like Alicia Keys.
Okay.
Like, she's pretty famous, mm-hmm. but, like, if I saw her, I would be like, oh, man, that's Alicia Keys. That's pretty cool. Like, I wouldn't roll up on her.
You wouldn't?
No.
Well, and what do you mean? Because, like, you can, like, nicely, excuse me.
Yes.
Like, wow, I'm a huge fan. It's an honor to meet you.
See, and yes.
And not be like, oh, my God.
Here's the hierarchy, Chelsea. See, now here's the hierarchy. Because now you got people who you think are sexy, mm-hmm. right? You got people who are famous, people who you think are sexy. And then you have people who are famous and you think they're sexy and they're like up here.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, this is where, so this is the hierarchy. Like, if Viola Davis was there, right? And it's not that she's not attractive. I'm not saying that.
She's a beautiful woman.
But she's just, you know, I'm 33.
But yeah, she's auntie.
She's an older
she's
woman.
Auntie.
She's aunt. She's
yeah.
Aunt Viola. She's yeah. very serious in her acting. It's
yes.
just, it's hard to be like, oh, that's sexy.
And she hobbles. You know,
she got bad knees. You know, that's cool. That's Viola. We love Viola. I call her Voila. I love Voila Davis. Okay. She appears, but I wouldn't roll up on her probably at
run.
All. Right.
She appears.
Like, I'm here and I'm acting. I don't know how I got here, but she's here.
Yes.
I wouldn't roll up on her.
I
right?
got you. Yeah.
I wouldn't even try. Like, no.
Meanwhile, I definitely would.
Hilarious.
And cry.
Right?
But if it's,
I'm just saying Alicia Keys because I saw her most recently. Alicia Keys, Brandy, whoever. Mm-hmm. Somebody who you think is attractive.
Uh-huh.
Like, I still wouldn't roll up. But if I could somehow have a casual, you know, run into.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm at the grocery store. Oh, that happens to be Brandy. Oh, I'm going to say something.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But I'm not going to be
but
a stand.
You don't have to.
I'm not going to be a stand.
Oh, I have to.
Then you have people who are up here. These are the people you've been in love with since you were a child. And, you know, whoever.
That might be Brandy and Alicia Keys for some people.
It could be.
It
but
could be.
They don't have. It's really, it's Beyonce.
Yes.
Like Taylor Swift.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, whoever's at
the
top,
you
top. You
Rihanna.
Know what I'm saying? That's where people, a man, I feel like he might act like a crazy person.
Yeah.
Because it's too much. Like, you can't see. First of all, you'll never see Beyonce in public. Let's just start there. It's because they know.
Anywhere.
Because they already know. Somebody might kill this woman. You know what I mean? Just being too excited. It's no different than drowning in a pool. You know what I mean? You drown in the pool. Somebody trying to save you.
I'm sorry.
You accidentally killed a person trying to save you. You made it out and they still in the pool.
Well, you know I've done it.
Yes. Haven't we all? You know what I'm saying?
Oh, no. I have to say it. As a kid, I still can't swim that well, but because I was too scared to learn. Yeah, I had lessons, but I refused to take them. So
can't do it. I ain't going to do it.
But I was in a pool, and, you know, there was the steep part at the point where it goes from the shallow end to the deep end. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know I was that close to it. Slid down.
Slid right down.
And lost my mind.
I'm off to meet
And
the
my
Lord.
Friend comes over. We're in like sixth grade-ish. My friend comes over there. She can swim, and she grabs me. She's like, "It's okay, Chelsea. Just reach for the side. You're right here." And I'm all like, "Bah!
I'm dying!"
And I'm all grabbing her and pushing her down, trying to get up.
No honor.
Her dad jumps in the pool. Let me see. Snatches me up like you're about to kill my child.
Certainly.
It's so funny to me.
Oh, terrible.
Because in retrospect, I know I would be so mad. Like, look, I'm going to save you, but can you get off of my kid? Why you got to kill my kid? Because you're drawing.
Because you're drawing. All right.
Oh, my gosh.
But the point is that human beings sometimes can overdo it. Okay. That's the main point. Mm-hmm. But that all goes back to what I'm saying about the crowns. It's like bringing that crown or that attraction, or let's say even the crown of what you think your personality is, mm-hmm. who you say you are. It's interesting because who you say you are and who you feel like you are, it in essence becomes like it's who you are.
Yeah, yeah.
But now if you add accolades
As
to it.
As a man thinketh in his heart, right? So is he.
But now you add accolades, you add experience, and now what you feel is just you.
Yes.
It could be a crown.
Yeah, yeah.
It could be something you wear. Mm-hmm. Like I put this is, and not like, you know, not in a facade, not in a hypocritical way, but it's like, oh, I am this person. I am Ron, the minister of music and gifted musician of God who is anointing.
Right.
That's me.
Right, right.
And now you think it's just you being you.
Yeah.
And it's like, you're like that could be bringing a crown.
Yeah, and it can cause you to have certain expectations of the way that people are going to react to you, the way that people are going to serve you, what you expect as well as what you think you deserve. Yeah, that can get real interesting.
Yeah, especially in marriage.
Yeah, and I think in a lot of, in regards to why people choose not to get married, it may be, I imagine people like having a way that they expect to be treated, and they're not coming across people that are treating them like the king or the queen that they are.
Yeah.
You know, people say that like, oh, you know, I deserve this and I deserve that. And, you know, like you need to treat me like a queen. You need to treat me like a king.
Right.
And it's like, I mean, to a degree that it depends on your, it depends on what you mean by that.
Yes. It's dignity and self-respect is one thing.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. But like.
Privileged is different.
Right. Like, and haughtiness.
Yes.
Haughtiness and self-absorption, self-centeredness are different than.
Yes.
You know, because it's like Beyonce don't have to lift a finger.
A finger.
Like, there, she don't even have to pay nobody.
She don't have to walk.
There's
nowhere.
People, in, if you could trust that they won't kill you, there's people out here that would just, I will do anything. I will be your personal life assistant for free.
In many regards.
Yeah, right. <Amen. laughs> In every regard.
Whatever
okay?
you need, I'm available.
Literally, I'm just here, all right? Just at your disposal. You don't got to pay me jack.
Whatever you like.
Yes.
What do you like?
Exactly. And it's one thing for people to view you that way.
Yes.
But for you to view yourself that way and expect that from people is when it becomes an issue.
Yeah, that's it.
And also when now you don't got to do that for them, though.
Yeah.
And now we really have an issue.
Yes.
Because it's one-sided because I am viewing myself this way and viewing you lower.
Wow.
Yeah.
The crowns we have. And the Bible says that, you know, that when we receive, we will receive a crown. Come on, help me, Lord. we will receive a crown of glory.
Amen.
And we will cast them at his feet.
Let me keep reading.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, did you need to finish your statement?
That was the statement. We will cast them down at the Savior's feet.
Yeah. Amen. Right. We will receive a crown, but we will cast it at his feet.
Yeah, there it is.
Amen. That's good. That's just, okay. Yeah. One of the many ways we protect ourselves from a variety of things that they said. And I love that they said individualism, materialism, mm-hmm. instant gratification, sexual temptation, and other destructive ideals that our society promotes, that but that could destroy our marriage. Even though we have both made mistakes, we have learned that our true crowns don't exist in earthly credentials, but in each other and in developing the character we need to demonstrate to experience a righteous life and marriage. At the end of the day, the only credential that matters is the crown that God bestows upon you. We believe God is using us as a weapon and a resource for righteous marriages. Our hope is that greater numbers of people will aspire to get married and will build and protect their marriage in a world where matrimony is not celebrated. Mm-hmm. And I felt that that was very powerful, that they said the crown that matters is the one God bestows upon you. Mm-hmm. And if he's calling you to be a spouse, but you are running from it and just say, oh no, I'm never going to get married, because you value the crowns that the world can give you more.
Right.
You know, the crowns of success, the crowns of popularity, the crowns of, you know, just self gratification, like instant gratification and, you know, just self righteousness of any kind. A lot of people sacrifice embracing what God calls greatness, you know, for what they call greatness, and to just stay in their own comfort and self-gratification.
Certainly. My goodness. I'm sitting there trying to, I was hoping you would just keep talking.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, because God says that marriage is good and it's a gift.
Yeah.
You know, he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor with God. You know, and a virtuous woman, beauty is fleeting and something is vain. What is it? But a woman who fears the Lord shall be praised. Yeah. You know, like she will be called great. The woman who fears the Lord, the woman who is a virtuous woman, and that whole chapter is describing a wife, you know, because he's telling him, you know, my son Lemuel, this is the type of woman that you want. You know, and she is to be praised, and she will have favor, you know, with God and with man. Amen. You know, so he's saying that if you are a godly husband, if you are a godly wife, you have favor with God. So that's a crown that God puts on us, that he is saying that we are great. He is bestowing greatness and honor on us in that way. And we ought to each other as well. Mm-hmm. Excuse me. But yeah, the world says it takes away from, you know, and that it puts you lower, because now I can't, you know, I might have had to put school on hold. I might have had to accept a lower position and not climb the corporate ladder. I may have had to, you know, just completely change paths. I may just be staying home with my kids for a season. I may be, you know, maybe I'm not going out with the guys because, you know, I'm going to go home and be with my family, and my wife's been with the kids all day, and or me and my wife need to have time together. I'm going to hang out with my wife instead of hanging out with my buddies.
Shout out to the newbies.
You know, et cetera. Yes. You know, so it's like the world is saying that these are things that take away from and demote you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And instead of promote. Right. You know, and God is saying, I'm promoting you for this.
Right, right. First of all, he's the one promoting.
Yeah.
And how he promotes is you know, it is not how you promote or how we like it. I had the Bible ready just in case. It's so hard to see past this daggone microphone now. That's annoying. But this is greatness in serving. Mm-hmm. Mark chapter 10. It says, shout out to my son in the background. Then Jesus, then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him saying, teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. And he said to them, what do you want me to do for you? He said to him, grant us we may sit on your right hand and the other on your left in your glory. But Jesus said to him, you do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They said to him, we are able. So Jesus said to them, you will indeed.
We are able.
That is pretty.
What?
That is funny. All right, yeah, I'm sorry. Absolutely. I can all do right. that.
Okay. Meanwhile, y'all are real confident.
First of all, this is people be so funny. Mm-hmm. It's really just because like we're the disciples. We're goofy.
Yes, we are.
We're just as goofy.
I can do that.
He literally says, "Are you?" Saying. He says, "Hmm." He starts by saying, "You don't know what you're asking." Yeah, you don't really understand what you're actually saying right now, but that's okay. Mm-hmm. I'm going to, you know, I'll appease you a little bit. And he says, this is why. Can you drink from the cup that I'm about to drink? Mm-hmm. And what he's saying, like, we're so dumb sometimes, but he's saying, you can't drink from the cup I'm about to drink, nor be baptized with the baptism that I have. Mm-hmm. Right? You can't do it. Amen.
Amen.
Then he said to him, we are able. Certainly, Lord. So Jesus said to them, you will indeed drink the cup that I drink, and with the baptism I am baptized with, you will be baptized. So that's amazing. They're not ready yet, but he said, you will. You will be. Mm-hmm. That's interesting. Amen. But they still don't know what they're asking.
No.
And he's saying, yeah, you're going to die for this, and the Holy Spirit will baptize you. Wow. Right? I will baptize you. The Holy Spirit will baptize. Well, it's a lot of baptisms, right? But to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it is for those in whom it is prepared. And when the 10 heard it, they began to be greatly displeased with James and John. But Jesus called them to himself and said to him, you know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. He's already painting the picture. Mm-hmm. This is how people rule here.
Yeah, yeah.
They use their rule to throw their weight around, mm-hmm. and they try to show you, oh, I'm in charge. Mm-hmm. This is what we do, mm-hmm. okay? And then he said, okay, let me fix it. Okay. Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant.
Yeah.
And whoever of you desires to be first shall be slave of all. Mm. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, mm-hmm. and to give his life a ransom for many.
Wow.
So now, if God has called you to marriage, he's literally calling you to a life of servitude.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, you know, we already know marriage represents literally Christ and the church. Mm-hmm. Like, Christ is the groom, mm-hmm. we are the bride. Mm-hmm. We already know what he had to accomplish and go through for the sake of the bride. Mm-hmm. So now it can be interchanged for you as a man first and then as a woman second. Hey, woman, are you willing to actually sacrifice? Are you willing to be last in your family?
Right.
Because don't throw kids into it.
Yeah.
You throw kids in. Are you willing to have your career be on the back burner? Mm-hmm. Are you willing to have what you would desire be on the back for the sake of somebody else? Mm-hmm. And if he's called you to it, you know, number one, he'll equip you to do it. Mm-hmm. He says to James and John, hey, you don't really have a full understanding of what you're asking, but indeed you will.
Right.
You will. You will be baptized with this baptism, and you will drink from the same cup.
Yeah.
So it's not that they couldn't do it.
You're just not there right now.
You ain't there right now. Mm-hmm. You can't have a crown and be first, mm-hmm. which is super interesting. Mm-hmm. Nobody who has a crown is actually first.
Yeah.
And we think it is. Look at him saying that, you know, the Pharisees, and, you know, he hated their hypocrisy. It's like they're, and not just Pharisees, but he was talking about the rulers of that area, and, you know, they were in subjection to Rome. Mm-hmm. And he's saying all these people who are in authority, they lord it over you. Mm-hmm. They try to show you that they're in charge, and they make sure you know it.
Yeah.
Whereas I'm saying,
if you want boss and bully,
yeah, if you want this crown, it's like you have to actually put yourself last.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's serious. Yeah. I was thinking of Hebrews 13:4. It says, this is the Amplified version. It says, marriage is to be held in honor among all, that is regarded as something of great value, and the marriage bed undefiled. And it's just funny that, like, that people are seeing marriage so differently now. Like, it used to be something that, like, man, I'm thinking right now about how, like, back in the day, it's like, that's all you were getting ready for. That was the goal.
Right.
And you get to a certain age, and the young man is building a house and, you know, making sure he has a dowry and all this stuff, like getting it together so he can come to your dad, mm-hmm. in the humblest way he knows how.
Just get shot
and be
down.
Like, sir, I have
get away from me.
I have cattle. I have land. I built us a home, and I would love. Yes. You know, it, that was it. And then the woman is like, you know, learning, you know, to cook and to clean and to raise children and to, you know, like, and just care for herself and, you know, all that type of stuff. And it's like, everybody's so excited and just waiting, like, oh, I can't wait to get married.
Yeah.
And now everybody's like, marriage sucks. Don't do that. And you don't even have to.
Right.
But what they're saying is, if you are a person who claims to be a Christian, God calls it a crown.
Yeah.
That's a crown that he bestows upon you. It's a calling.
Yeah.
Just like other things are a calling, so is marriage. You know, and it's like, it should be held in honor among all of us, regarded as something of great value.
Right.
God honors it and calls it something of great value and calls it a blessing and a gift.
Yeah.
And then we're out here like, eh. And it's like, I think it goes back to what we've been saying as far as anything when it is not done properly sucks.
and some things when done properly still suck.
Absolutely. Right. And not that they suck, but they're hard.
Sure.
You know, and I think changing, I love that you said that, because I think changing the perspective of hard sucking.
Yes.
It's like, no, it may be a challenge, but welcome it.
Yeah.
And it's like what they say about everything else, like all those motivational speakers that are like, until you want to be successful more than you want to breathe, or, you know, or you want to be, you want to get where I am, but you don't know what I had to do to get here.
Right.
You know, everybody says that, like, you want the benefits without the challenges.
Yes.
And that's not how life works at all. Even non-believers will tell you that if you want to be successful at anything, you welcome the challenges, you push through the challenges, and you grow through the challenges.
Yeah.
And there's a reward at the end of that, and you have something to be proud of.
Yeah.
You know?
Amen. You have something to work for.
Yeah.
I think it's just even the idea of servanthood at the heart of all success really is servanthood. But I think that, you know, just the worldly perspective, it has it skewed. Because even somebody who wants to be successful at anything, you're going to do it on the backs of serving, on the back of serving others. Like, you won't be successful or, you know, do anything that's really noteworthy without people being affected in a positive way. Right. And that's at the heart of servanthood. Really, it's kind of a selfish ambition, depending on I guess how you go about it. It's like, well, really, I'll say it's a fine line, because what happens when I say I want to be great, and, you know, God didn't say anything is wrong with you wanting to be great. He wasn't mad at James and John.
Right, right.
He just said, I want you to understand what you're asking.
What it takes. Yeah.
Like, you need to know, like, what does this actually take for you to do what you're saying, what you say you want to do?
Yeah.
What does it actually take for you to actually have a marriage, a real marriage, where you're both actually happy, where you're both, you know, glad to see each other and actually working towards the same way? Like, you're going the same way. You're not growing apart. You're growing together. What is that cup?
Yeah.
What is that baptism?
Yeah.
Like, what are you immersed in, and what is on your plate?
It's not
Skittles and rainbows.
Yeah.
It ain't unicorns and I don't know, Lucky Charms, whatever. It's self-sacrifice.
Yeah.
It's not self-serving. It's servanthood.
Yeah.
Like that's what marriage is. It's servanthood. And servanthood by nature, the perspective you have of servanthood will be completely dependent on you, not on the nature of it. Because now somebody will gladly be a servant, and somebody else will say, that's horrible.
Yeah.
I'll never do that.
Yeah.
So it's internal.
It is.
Because no, you can't say that certain things are good or bad based off of, you know, necessarily my experience. If it's an opinion, it's neither.
Yeah.
It's not good or bad.
Yeah.
If it's an opinion, it's like, oh, no, my perspective can change. I say this all the time with people that say the job sucks. I'm like, the job only sucks because you believe it sucks. If you thought it was great, it would be great.
Right.
So what needs to change? It's like your perspective, or just get another job. That's right. What, you know, I don't have to always get deep, but it's the perspective that what I'm doing is good.
Mm-hmm.
And it does not suck.
And that it's an opportunity and that it's a blessing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow. What a simple thing, but it's actually profound.
Yeah.
Marriage is good.
Yeah.
And it's a blessing.
Yeah.
And it's awesome to
mm-hmm.
do.
Mm-hmm.
Not marriage sucks.
Yeah. And it's a beautiful opportunity to even have.
Yeah.
Because there's people that want to be married, but haven't been presented with the opportunity yet.
Certainly.
You know, but like are looking at married people like, man, I can't wait to have that. Mm. Versus people that look at it and say, I would never want to do that.
That's everything, though, Chelsea.
It is everything.
Literally everything. Everything. Any activity, experience, even stuff that is, wow, that's amazing. Even stuff that is clearly not good.
Mm-hmm.
If you can see a good in it,
mm.
it can be good.
Yeah.
There's things that have happened to people who, you know, to everybody that you've hated, that has traumatized you,
mm-hmm.
that has changed who you are, that has reshaped your perspective. But if there is a goodness to find in it, then it was good.
Mm.
For we know that all things work together
mm-hmm.
for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose.
Yeah.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
Until you have to look back and say, I don't know why I was molested.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know why I was sexually abused. I don't know why people were bullying me. I don't know why I was abandoned. I don't know if I was good enough for my parents.
Right.
I don't know why I keep getting fired.
Yeah, yeah.
Can't be my lateness.
Hilarious.
Right? Can't be yeah. my attitude, mm. you know?
That's
but
a whole different
thing. That's a whole different thing. That, but, you know, levity aside.
Yes.
It's... There's a goodness in even in all the bad.
Yeah.
But amen. it's your job to find it.
It's always perspective.
It's always perspective.
It is always perspective. It's just like we were talking about in growth group last week that the when it said they were welcoming all of the persecution
right.
and strife, the plundering of their property, et cetera, mm-hmm. because they knew that they had
right.
a treasure that is like unperishable or something like that.
Right, yes.
Their focus was not on what they were losing. It was on what they were gaining.
Wow.
And it was also on the fact that sometimes delayed gratification. I love that they said that. Mm-hmm. I love that they said, hold on. Not bringing their crowns into the home. One of the many ways we protect ourselves from individualism. And one of the other things they said was instant gratification.
Yeah.
Protecting yourself from wanting instant gratification.
Yes.
You know, really living a life that's based off of instant gratification, you're going to be depressed.
Yeah,
because it doesn't always work that way.
Right.
Like, not everything in life can just be put in the microwave. Sometimes it needs to bake in the oven.
Yes.
And, like, until you can accept that. Me and a friend were just talking about that the other day because we were talking about, like, these younger. She was saying, because she's a school teacher, and she was saying, like, fifth graders nowadays, like, when we were in fifth grade, we wouldn't be caught crying. You know, like, because something didn't go the way you wanted it to go or something.
No.
It's one thing if you, like, really hurt yourself or something like that. But it's like you don't want to be called a baby.
Right.
At some point, you get to an age where you want to be mature.
Right.
And you want people to see you as mature, and you don't want to act like a baby.
Yes.
So you're like, I'm not going to sit here and be breaking down and, oh, I wanted candy. She said, I can't have candy till tomorrow. And like nowadays, though, you got people in 12th grade that are crying.
Because I couldn't have my phone.
My Lord.
Yes.
My Lord. and we were just talking about how things have changed so much with young people where it's like, you can talk like we're 30. Well, you're 33 now. He just turned 33. I'm 32. And we talk to people in their 20s and they, because we are married. Oh, perfect example.
Come on.
There's a young lady at our church who is literally my age.
Yes.
We are both 32. And she says to me one day while I'm walking out the church, like, yeah, but I'm like younger than you. And I'm like, what do you mean? Like, literally, what do you mean? And she's like, yeah, well, you know, I still kind of am like, you know, just like, because I think she's made a reference to my daughter's pigtails or something. Like, I'm still kind of like that. Like, I still want to wear my pigtails and do this and just kind of be more like just free, you that's know?
Funny. I don't know who this is. I wonder.
It's fine. That's fine. But yeah, and I'm like, I mean, that's fine and good. But I really came. And also, there's another person that be calling me Miss Chelsea as if I'm not 5 years older than him.
That's a grown woman.
We are 5 years apart, young man.
Good. Call me Miss
5 years. You are 27.
27.
And you're all Miss Chelsea, and I'm like, you definitely can stop doing that. But what it is, is I still live with my parents. Right. I've never been on my own. Yeah. I'm still indecisive about what I want to do with my life. I'm unmarried. I have no kids. Mm-hmm. So the mindset, like back in the day, you better be looking for a job at 13, Johnny. Drop out of school and go find a job to help support this family.
Please, sir, we need you.
Okay. Mary, Mother of Jesus, was a teenager,
was
all right?
Young, yes.
This was, and she betrothed before she found out. She was ready to get married. She was going to be pregnant anyway.
Sure
enough. So it's like that was commonplace. Now we got people who are in their late 20s, early 30s talking about, oh, well, I'm still young. And it's like, it's so funny because they look at us and we're married and we have kids and we've been married for 9 years next week, I think it is. Or week after,
more or less.
So we're 2 weeks away from being, a week and a half away from being 9 years married, and we have an 8-year-old and a 3-year-old, and they're looking at, and we go to church faithfully, and we're active, and we serve.
Must be old.
And they're like, y'all must be old, and I'm like, no.
Gotta be 40, at least 40.
At least 40, because you're doing all these grown-up things, and I'm not.
Knocking these bills out. I ain't paid my phone bill in 6 months.
And here's the thing. Like, if you're still at home with your parents and you're not married and you don't have kids, if that just hasn't happened for you yet and it makes sense for you to still be with your parents, save your dollars. Man, make sure you save it.
Thank God.
Praise the Lord. Okay. But the point I'm trying to make is that, like, people don't want to grow up.
Yeah.
And, like, but not only do that, it's like they still have the mind of a child who is going to be like, oh, it's too good. To go, oh no, what do I do now? My life is over.
Right.
You know, like Corey thinks life is over if we can't do something until 2 hours from now.
Yes.
Like, not right now. You can do it a little later.
Oh no.
But I just really wanted
Why
to do it right
thou
now.
Smite me?
You know, but that instant gratification thing, that's so immature.
It is immature.
It's immature for you to really think that that's how life can go. And unfortunately, we have generations of people coming up in this social media thing. I've seen, like, there's someone we know very near and dear who shares posts of people that are like, I'm 25 and I already love you because you know who I'm talking about you. Mm-hmm. I love you. But, you know, I'm 25 and I already have a big old house and here's my Mercedes-Benz parked out front and I'm married and we got two kids and we all got on matching Christmas PJs and I don't got no student loans.
Yes.
And it's like, praise God.
Praise God.
But that is not typical and you don't even know if they're telling the truth.
Because people be lying.
Okay.
My God.
And I want you to know that it's viral because it's abnormal.
Right.
It's very nice for them.
It's true.
But don't think that necessarily is your trajectory. No. You also don't know how they got there.
Not at all.
You don't know what the process has been, what supports they have in place, or don't.
Yep.
You don't know.
You don't know.
You know, so like, don't sit here and be, it's like we have a whole generation of young adults coming up who are depressed because they're 25.
Right.
And that didn't, I'm still at home with my parents and I'm still working on my master's degree and I didn't even start my career yet. I have no husband and they're thinking something's wrong with them.
Right.
You know, but then they get into a marriage and they don't understand why their marriage is not already perfect.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like everything's supposed to just boom, boom, boom. Yeah. I want this and it's not like that yet. And I don't want to work for nothing because that's not my perception of how life works.
Right.
It's just supposed to be there.
Right.
Because you got a smartphone and you got the internet and you got microwaves and you got
everything.
Everything's just boom, boom, boom. I got Amazon. Right. I got Instacart. I got Uber.
Yes.
I literally can just boom, boom, boom.
Everything.
They don't understand dial-up internet.
What is that? I don't know. Why would
they
I be
dialing?
They
don't understand.
Why are you making these noises? I don't understand. Who is Al? Who's Al?
Right.
Who's Al?
Oh, my gosh. And I'm like, these poor babies.
AOL.
These poor babies. That's why they don't want to get married, because they're like, that looks like something that doesn't go the way you want it to go right away with no effort.
Certainly.
I don't want that.
Nah, I don't.
Poor babies.
Poor babies. They don't understand the. Well, you know what? Yeah. I think that is a huge aspect of it.
Yeah.
Is that the crock. We are the crock pot. I ain't going to say we because really it ain't even we.
Right. But
maybe a generation before, maybe a couple generations, it was the crock pot generation. We're going to cook this thing. You know, and marriage even then was a lot different, but it certainly was the goal.
Mm-hmm.
And it was not perfect even then. But just as a people.
But that was anticipated. Yeah.
That was it was not. There was a stick-to-itiveness that people generally had because it's like everything is not, you know, when I don't have. There was a certain time where there was no such thing as a microwave.
Mm-hmm.
It's like there was no.
Or an oven.
Or
go get your logs. All right,
now let's not go.
I'm not joking.
Let's not go back that far.
I'm not joking, though.
Yes,
that's real.
That's fair. There was no supermarket.
No.
But that's going back too far, right?
No, it ain't.
I'm trying to go back to the 50s, okay?
Okay, that's fine, but go back to the 1850s, because people really need to understand we have capacity. Yes.
We have capacity.
That is unexplored.
It's fair. It's fair.
That's all I'm saying.
Yes.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Everything was not, it's like you didn't have anything to compare it to. Number one, you didn't even know necessarily what was going on in somebody else's marriage in the first place. I mean, now we're more open, which is a blessing.
And a curse.
It's a blessing and a curse. It's just like the internet. The internet is good and bad.
Yeah, yeah.
Everything is good and bad.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that man makes, at the very least, is like it can be good or it can be horrible. You know, money can be great or money can be bad.
It's all about the way you use it.
How you use it. Sex can be great or sex can be bad.
Mm-hmm.
My goodness. Family can be good. Family can be bad.
Right.
But just having that is, you know, it's it's different when. People didn't, like, they didn't used to have seatbelts in cars.
Yeah.
Like, imagine that.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't go
if
as fast.
If we crash, you're going
literally.
Out
like,
the car.
You can, you're like, literally. Here. Like, they would have a baby, and they would just hold it.
Yep.
All right, let's get the baby in the car.
And drive from here to California.
Here to wherever. We'll get there when we get there.
Yep.
It's like, wow, just a different life. I can't imagine being in a different state without this Google. Like, I'm lost. I'm lost.
Right, out here trying to read a map.
Just imagine like how dedicated people had to be to just getting somewhere.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to get there. First of all, it's like, this is a car. The car is the amazing part. The vehicle to get where you're going is the amazing part.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. Not the difficulty that you experience getting there.
Mm-hmm.
It's the fact that you have a way to get to where you're going.
Amen.
And it doesn't become about how long. Mm-hmm. Or the manner in which it's not like, oh, this car isn't comfortable.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't, you know, it's this ride is so slow. Mm-hmm. It's like, no, we have a ride.
Yeah.
To
Amen.
Get to, like, we could be walking.
And like you said, enjoying, like, taking time to slow down and enjoy the ride.
Yes.
You know, like, you can drive back and forth from work every day and mm-hmm. just be like, oh, this is so monotonous. Or you can stop and say, ooh, mm-hmm. it's fall. Look at these beautiful leaves.
But the marriage is the vehicle.
Yeah.
The marriage is the vehicle. This is it. That you can't look and say, oh, my marriage, like, we're not clicking the way I'd like to.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, hold on. You're replacing what the marriage is supposed to be with something else.
Yeah.
I can't say, oh, like, it's like, no. Marriage is the way you're getting to where you're going. At the end of it is servanthood.
Yeah.
That's the actual vehicle. So what happens is you don't have to actually worry about, this is why Paul says you run the race to finish it.
Yeah, just said that too.
Right? I don't run the race to
it's not about how fast it's not or about how strong
fast
you are.
Or how strong.
It's about enduring.
You're in this vehicle. You got to be happy that the Lord, that you have a vehicle to be able to get to servanthood.
Mm-hmm.
Marriage is a vehicle to make you understand servanthood and to make you understand Christ.
Yeah.
It's not about, oh, it's not fast enough. Mm-hmm. It's not quick enough. I ain't got no seatbelts. I ain't got no air.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the tires is raggedy. Mm-hmm. It's like, yo, that's not the point. The point is you are here to serve.
Wow.
And you have a vehicle to do it. What a blessing.
What a blessing. No, yes. And I think it comes from two sides. I think it comes from the side of, you know, you have people that you hear people say, like, they're delaying getting married. Men in particular have this stigma on them of sowing their wild oats.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's me thinking that I'm not going to be able to do what I can't do anymore.
Yeah.
And then on the other side of it, it's what I have to do. Mm-hmm. It's a double-edged sword that's keeping people from wanting to get married because they're like, I got to give up everything I enjoy and who I am, but then I also have to do all this stuff I don't want to do.
Yeah.
And it's like perspective. I feel like that's just the word of the day.
Right. It is perspective.
It's perspective. There is perspective about everything because really life is not worth living in general if your focus is on everything that has gone and can go wrong.
Right.
Or just isn't to your liking. It does. And people who are depressed, people who do, unfortunately, you know, end their lives or whatever the case may be, it's always because they can't, their perspective is bad. You know, yes. Their perspective is that there's no goodness.
Right.
And that's why Philippians 4:8 says, fix your thoughts on what is good and true and pure and lovely, good report, virtuous, praiseworthy. Think on these things.
Yes.
And right before that is saying rejoice. I think it's verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice, you know, make your moderation known, all that type of stuff, you know. But how do you rejoice in the Lord always? By fixing your thoughts, by intentionally deciding that I'm not going to dwell on. It's not that you're unaware, but it's that I'm not going to dwell on that. I'm going to dwell on the goodness. You know, and I mean, if you take it back to the old school church, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he has done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. You know, like, I'm not going to, it's praiseworthy. I'm thinking on what's praiseworthy. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you, Lord, for blessing me with this and that and for everything that is good and beautiful.
Yeah.
You know, it's an intentional act for sure.
Yes, fixed.
It's, and, it, and. Yes. And you're told to do it because it's not natural.
Yes.
He tells you this is actually what you need to do. You will not be able to rejoice if you don't do this.
Yes.
That's what he's telling us. And he's like, I know for a fact that y'all ain't just going to automatically be doing that.
Wow. What is a fixture? A fixture is like something that will go on the wall, right?
Yeah, It
stays in place.
Yeah.
Yes. Fixing your thoughts doesn't mean correct them. It means study them.
Yeah, yeah.
And don't move them.
Mm-hmm.
That's what fixed actually means. I don't know if that might have been like a, you know, like,
yeah,
like an old definition. Just as a fixture would be. A fixture is something you would put on the wall and it would not move.
Yeah, wow.
It doesn't move. It doesn't go anywhere. It's like, nope, this is it. Whatever is lovely, pure, you know, righteous, whatever, upright.
Yeah.
That's what I think about.
Yeah, the world calls it practicing gratitude. That's what they call it. You're going to, like, every day, instead of me, it's funny because that can be different. People journal and say, well, today was rough. Or you have a gratitude journal where you intentionally are writing everything that you're grateful for today, everything that went well. People actually make a practice of that in order to change their mindset.
Amen.
You know, and that is definitely something we can do for those who are unmarried. The way you think about marriage, if you start thinking about it as an opportunity and as a blessing and as a gift, instead of as a, what I got to stop doing and what I got to do that I don't want to do.
Yeah.
You know, if you make that transition in your perspective and ask God to help you, because it's not easy.
True.
But, you know, if you do that, you'll want to get married.
Right.
You know, and if you are married and you're starting to feel like, dang, I wish I didn't. If you do that, now you'll want to stay married and now you'll be excited. If we really both came into marriage every day just being like, oh, well, there's an issue. What can I do to help? What is my role in this? Like, what can I contribute?
Yeah.
Oh, you're upset. How can I help you not to be upset?
You know,
you're angry. How can I help you not to be angry?
You know what to do.
You're so funny. No, but like, seriously though, like, if we really were, or you're having a hard time or you're feeling inadequate or you're insecure or you're lashing out, how can I help you? And let me pray for you. And you know, you don't even know I'm praying for you, and I am. And maybe sometimes you do, and praise God for that too. But like, let me stay steadfast. You know, while your emotions are on high. Great. Let me, what if we really were to be intentional about that instead of trying to be responsive?
Yeah.
You know, like trying to be more intentional about like, what can I add to you? Like, even in a moment where you're frustrating me or where this is completely just serving you and not me at all. Like, you know, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it takes the spirit of God.
It does.
And not just for practice, but for things that are much deeper, because the spirit communicates, you know, we're sitting there thinking about the same thing, and only the spirit can tell me,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
and then tell you and bring it together. Of course, you can practice responding and not reacting, but
yeah,
the spirit is what gives life, and it makes a huge difference.
Yeah, the fruit of the spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness,
yeah,
meekness, self-control, but kindness and yes, gentleness and patience,
all that good
endurance
stuff. All endurance. Yes,
that comes through him.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So if you'd like to wear a crown, we have them for sale on our webpage. No, we just thank you for joining us. For anybody who is here, whether you're married, not married, in a relationship, or trying to be any of those things. Well, not trying to get single from married, but, you know, single trying to get married or single, yes, trying, Lord, to get into a relationship to get married. Don't go in it with your crown.
Mm.
Put your crown in your bag and come in as a servant, because really, he who wears the crown really is the servant of all.
Amen.
The king or the queen is concerned for everybody who is under her power or, amen, under his power, just like our king is. And if you go in with servanthood first, that's where your success actually lies.
Amen.
When you become the servant and not the king. Amen.
Amen.
So, I love you.
Love you too.
Fanny, we love you too.
Love y'all.
And we will see whomever eventually. Ha ha.